Well, good morning, everybody. I'd like to thank everyone that's involved in putting on this gathering. I definitely enjoyed my time so far, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of everyone, so thank you. My topic this morning is one kind of focused towards the Sunday school students here and maybe the younger brothers and sisters. Hopefully it's an interactive talk a little bit, so hopefully I can get participation from the younger ones. And as we make our way through. So the topic today is school. I'm trying to make it a little bit fun there, so. But more than just school. There we go. Overcoming school. Thank you, bro. So what kind of things could we talk about in regards to overcoming school? We know that overcoming from this weekend here is denying our natural tendencies, not acting in a way that is sinful. If we prevent ourselves from lowering our standards, then we can consider that we have overcome the trial that is set in front of us. I'm sure there are many things that each of us have had to overcome while in school. Today we're not going to focus so much on school itself, nor on the teachers that you didn't like, but on the things you have to deal with while you're in school and life beyond school. So what I have prepared is a number of topics that we're going to go through, and I hope that what I want to have is different people from the audience to suggest different topics, and hopefully I've pre-guessed what you're going to bring up as far as struggles in school and things to overcome. So we'll go through those. So I guess I'm looking for a volunteer to suggest something that's difficult in school. Any suggestions or ideas, things that are difficult situations?
Peer pressure.
That's definitely one. See, I kind of talk about that here in one of them. I know I do have that here in one of them, but I'm going to keep digging for other topics. So you're on the right track there. So please follow the lead. Any other topics?
Cheating.
Thank you. Yes, we have cheating. That is our topic number two here. So cheating or lying. Sometimes there's pressure on us to cheat on exams so we can get a good mark, or maybe others want us to help them out, that they can, and that would be considered cheating. In reality, cheating is putting on a false image. Cheating is lying. We know that God takes this very seriously, as is given a spot in the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 20:16, it says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," which is lying. Also, in Proverbs 19:5, a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. So the moral is, don't lie. God's word speaks very plainly about how seriously he feels about bearing false witness. If we cheat and lie, we will not only lose people's respect, but we will risk severe judgment from God. There's our lion mascot there. Okay. Any other topics? Pardon me? Bullies. Thank you. That's number one. If I can get this. There we go. Bullying or teasing. How many of you have been a victim of some sort of bullying or have been teased about something? Show of hands. Anyone ever witnessed that? Yeah, I'm with you too. Sometimes being bullied or teased excessively can be quite traumatic. This is definitely something that is difficult to overcome. You want to retaliate and somehow make the bully pay for putting you through this grief that you had to endure. It is really difficult to not act on your emotions and take matter into your own hands. We know that God is just and will ultimately set things right. We are told in Romans that we are to avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." We know that when we treat our enemies well, that they will have a difficult time accepting it, and also that the Lord will reward us for our unnatural action of kindness. Proverbs 25 and 22 says, "For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Okay, so that the moral is, unfortunately, being bullied and teased can happen. We must know that God will reward us for making the right decisions. Any other topics, anyone?
Choosing friends.
Choosing friends. That also made my list. Number 7. Friends you choose. And we thank Brother Jim for his comments from last night. Regardless of how strong we are, people we associate with and decide to spend time with, unfortunately, will start to affect our decision and choices in life. It is critically important to make wise decisions on who we spend time with and who we allow to influence our life. The reality is that our friends cannot make us sin, but they can simply continually present us with opportunity and encourage us to do that which is against God's wishes. There's a couple examples of maybe bad friends at the bottom there. So look at James 1, verses 14 and 15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So that's, I guess, the ultimate. When our friends get to us, we allow ourselves to be enticed. Also, we'll look at, I'll read out, I don't have it noted down, but Proverbs 13, verse 20, which we heard last night. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." So the moral is, we need to be aware of the temptations we put in front of ourselves. And one of those big ones is the friends we allow to influence us. So thank you for that. Any other ideas, anyone?
Tattletailing.
Yeah, I got one that's kind of along those lines. It includes tattletailing. It's kind of like talking a lot and maybe not watching our talk. So thanks, James. And that's number 13. So we call it talking too much. Anyone here ever been guilty of talking too much? I know I have. There have been times recently when I've realized that I've talked on and on where I should have just kept my mouth shut and done a much more effective job of communicating with people. I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak, as we need to communicate with each other. Lots of communication is good, but there is a difference between talking, between allowing lots of communication and talking too much. The quote I have for you is from Solomon, and it says pretty plainly, and it says it pretty plainly, so I'm going to let Solomon do the talking. Proverbs 13, verse 3, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Also, Proverbs 15, verse 7, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the fools doeth not so." And I also got 1 Peter 1 and 15, which you've heard already. But as he which hath called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conversation. We can see that being effective and selective in our speech will stand us in good stead with others, especially with our Father. So thank you, James, for that one. Any other ideas? Michael?
Time management.
Time management. Yes, I do have that in here somewhere. Again, also under a different name. That's under number 12, and I've entitled that one Passing Classes. So this is more a little more specific to school, but it does definitely tie to time management. You may be wondering, how does the Bible speak to passing your classes? The Bible does not directly speak on this subject, but we can apply its teaching to our level of effort in completing our classwork. We already know that to whatever we put our hand to, we are to do it with all our might. We also know that our life is but a short moment of time, and if we decide to waste it by not trying to pass our classes or applying it to proper things, it is abuse of the time that God gives us. James 14:4, whereas ye know not what shall be for the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away. Life is short. We must ensure that we focus as much time as we can spare into God's will for us. Lethargically letting life pass you by is a waste of your time, and which in reality is God's time that He has kindly donated to each of us. Thank you, Michael. Paying attention. That's definitely something we need to do. I haven't called that one out specifically here, but it's definitely something we need to do and not just let our mind wander a lot. That's something else it's talking about. I don't have that one here, so keep the ideas coming. Good job, Seth. Opposite gender. That's another one I decided not to get into. It was a downhill battle, that one, so. Yeah. But yes, definitely something probably someone else could probably speak to a lot better than what I could. Dan? Yes, that's definitely one we got in here. So with all these ideas people are bringing forward, don't be discouraged because I didn't have them down. They're all very good topics. So number 3. Drugs or smoking or alcohol. In our lives, I got some pictures here to show. In our lives, being accepted by others is a natural desire we strive to achieve. It is very natural to want to be liked, respected, and looked up to. Unfortunately, people use this as a tool to try and convince us to do things that we may not normally do. We know that our body is to be respected and to not be abused. This can be applied in many ways, of which the abuse of drugs or smoking or alcohol is no exception. First Corinthians 6:9. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Having strength to overcome the desire to be like others is an important aspect of overcoming temptations of the flesh. Handling peer pressure, to take substances is sometimes difficult, but it must be avoided. Okay. Any other ideas, anyone? That is definitely something we should not do. I didn't anticipate that one, though. Dan? Fads? Yeah, I think I kind of got that one covered. Number 5. I call it one feeling different. High school is the beginning of your time in finding your place in the world. The decisions you make during your teenage years and into your early 20s will leave a large mark on the direction in your life. We know as being God's children that the decisions we make quite often make us stand out and separate from our peers. It is not natural to want to be different or to stand out. Instead of being uncomfortable about your distinction, it is much better to think of it as being special or selected by God. When the day of judgment comes, we will definitely want to be separate from the world. We'll get a quote here, Matthew 25, verses 32 and 33. I'm going to also read verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall be separate. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. So we hope to be part of the sheep. To be God's people in the future, to be separate in the future, we need to separate ourselves now. Okay. That is definitely something we need to do. Let's see if I have anything that kind of pertains to that. I don't specifically on that, but it's definitely an underlying principle needs to be followed.
Attendance.
Attendance? Yeah, I got one on that. Number 10. Skipping classes or not skipping classes. Yes, this can be a temptation. Maybe there's our skipping mascot there. Maybe your friends are wanting to skip out on class to go hang out. Maybe you are the person that figures you need a little break from the everyday humdrum of a boring class. There are no Bible verses that directly talk about skipping school, but we do know that it is God, our Father's wishes that we do things with our might and not do things half-heartedly. Ecclesiastes 9 and 10 says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." So we know that we are given a time now to act, and if we let that time slip by, the future grave will not be able to rectify that. We also know that Paul the Apostle is an example of doing everything he put his hand to with all his might, even when he was unknowingly working against God and persecuting the followers of Christ. He did it with zeal and conviction. God recognized this and turned him in line with the proper objectives he wanted him to have. So skipping out on school is a half-hearted approach. God expects better of us. So thanks, Matt. Any other difficulties during school time, Dan? That's definitely a good one. I don't know if I have anything that directly pertains to that. I don't, but that's definitely a good one. Good shot. Career choices, I haven't talked on that one either. Len. That's a good one, yes. Or all these are good ones, but these are ones that I've thought of. So. You can tell this is not a comprehensive list here. So, number 11, gossiping and spreading rumors, word for word there. Speaking about our natural family is a very serious responsibility. We must ensure that our talk is meant to edify and uplift instead of speaking evil of others. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 to 17. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and the word will eat as doth a canker. And also James 5, I'll read verses 5 to 8. Even so the tongue is a little member that boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. So here's a challenge that our Father has put us to. Can you tame your own tongue? It is a temptation throughout the entire day, and a temptation that we must always be watchful of. Hopefully together, we can help each other in focusing our speech on appropriate talk and discouraging one another from evil speaking. So it needs to be a group effort. Any other ideas?
What about evolution?
Evolution? That's definitely something that's in our school and something that we know is contrary to God's teachings. I didn't call it out here, though. Lynn?
Dress.
Dress, yes, that's one I've touched on. The last one, but not least, dressing appropriately. Here's our fashion model there. Trying to figure out what is appropriate clothing and what is not appropriate clothing is a difficult subject to figure out. It does not take a rocket scientist to figure out that the trends of today are focusing on the natural desires of the flesh by having clothes that reveal a lot and are tight-fitting. The other hand, we do not want to wear clothes that stand out as unfashionable and ugly. We need to present ourselves in a way that presents us as servants of God, not in a way that stands out, but in a way that shows respect to our Creator and is not drawn toward sinful ways and towards the sinful mind. We need to be mindful of the people we are with and their perceptions as to what is appropriate attire. Certain places may deem a style of clothes to be respectable and appropriate, while with the same clothes in another location may be perceived as extremely inappropriate. So I got a couple of verses here. 1 Peter 3, verse 3. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of the meek and the quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. And I also got another one here. 1 Timothy 2 and 9. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, gold, pearls, or costly array. So it's kind of principles that we need to try and stick to. Thank you. Starting to get down. Any other ideas, anyone? Dan? I had one on talking too much to see if I had something else that... Yeah, I got one that kind of pertains to that. Number 9. I call it name calling. So thank you for that lead-in. So we'll get to their mascot there in a minute. Name calling is in the same classification as bullying or teasing. Calling someone names usually has a connotation of wanting to make a person feel out of place and unpopular and in the minority. We can be the person who is having to suffer being called names, or we can also be the one perpetrating the sin in that we are tempted to call someone else names. Let's look at a classic naming calling incident in the scriptures. 2 Kings 2, verses 23 and 24. And he, or in this case Elisha, went up from thence unto Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city, and mocked him, and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them, and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth 2 she-bears out of the wood, and tare 42 children of them. We see here how God repaid the children who were foolishly mocking God's prophet. It sure makes me think when I've teased some of my friends about being bald or going bald, or even worse things than that. I hope that God is more merciful to me than he was to these 42 children that were mocking Elisha. Having this example in our minds is definitely incentive to not call people names or mock people. It is obviously something our Father does not appreciate, and as the result of us ignoring this, And the results of us ignoring this can be severe. We can also take pleasure in knowing that if we are a victim of someone who is calling us names, that in the end our judge will recognize that we followed the scriptures and did not take matter into our own hands. It is not our job to provide revenge on people like this. Thanks, Dan. Okay, any other ideas? We're getting down. I think we got maybe three left. Being organized is definitely something we should be. It's not something I had organized to talk about. Anyone get a black eye in school? Fighting, yes, thank you. Number six. Fighting. Physical fighting sometimes seems to be the only way to deal with a situation, especially during our time at school. Dealing with problems through physical fighting is definitely not in line with how a servant of God should act. Overcoming the natural desire to give someone a lesson is a great way to show others around us that we are a person of quality and class. Others may not even realize that we are only taking the advice of our Father. So put a couple of verses here. Matthew 26:52. Then Jesus said unto him, this being Peter, put up thy sword again into his place, for all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. So there's your weapons, Andrew, you mentioned earlier. Not sure if I have any others. I don't have a couple other verses here. We'll go through John 18:36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. And then also Matthew 5:39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whomsoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. So God's servants will not be physically aggressive until it is divinely directed, when Christ will subdue the nations of the world. If we respect God's word, we will not only be blessed in the future, but we will also see the benefit in our current life. Okay, we're down to a couple other points. Matthew? Yeah, I think that pertains to one of the two, so good intro. What I call this one is, as Matthew said, being positive. This one I've entitled Feeling Alone, Feeling Isolated. One of the struggles I remember feeling, especially in school, was that I felt alone due to my beliefs. Overcoming this feeling of isolation can also be another struggle we have to face. There is no good solution to this other than knowing that if we are despised by the world because we are following God's teachings, then we know we will have value with our judge in the future. There's a guy that's alone there. We'll look up 1 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to read out verses 27-29. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God hath chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring aught things that are. No flesh should glory in his presence. And also James 4:4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whatsoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So pretty harsh statement there we need to consider. To be God's chosen people in his future kingdom, we know that there is a sacrifice we each have to bear. We need to not take care for the pleasures of this life, but know that God's chosen will be despised by the world today. So thanks again, Matt. This last one might be a little obscure. So it's number 8. I'll maybe just jump into that one. And I've called it expectations from adults. Hopefully I take this in the right direction here. I know that sometimes trying to meet other people's expectations can be a difficult situation to overcome. I know of some people that felt it so necessary to try and meet either their parents' high expectations or their teachers' high expectations that they would spend time stressing about it, or even consider cheating to try and meet those expectations. Hopefully your parents encourage you to do well, but do not push you beyond your means. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 says, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Only we know what our best is. If we are striving for our best, then we need to be satisfied with our effort and not push ourselves beyond to the point where we are drawing from evil methods to achieve the expectations of others. So the moral I have written out there, if we put on an effort forward that is our best, and it is what we can say is to be, and it is what we can say is to the glory of God, regardless of the expectations of others. So your parents hopefully encourage you in that and work with you on that, and also your teachers too, but sometimes we can feel pressure to achieve more. So I'm sure there's many other ideas. I thank everyone for their part in this, and there's definitely a lot more that can be drawn from this. As you heard, there's a lot of topics we haven't touched on here. This concludes the talk I have this morning. We've talked about many things and situations that you've faced in not only school, but will face throughout life. What I've prepared here is, in summary of all this, in case it was hard to capture, a one-page handout. I got it up at the front here, so after we're done and able to take a little break, feel free to come up and take a copy of that if you want. You can put this handout in a place that will come across, that you'll come across it, and you can read it over when you're maybe facing difficulty in different situations. Maybe you could put it on your bedroom mirror, for instance, or put it inside one of your covers of your school binders for those that are in school, or maybe in your Bible is another good spot. The idea is that you can take a look at the sheet and find some strength when you're facing a situation. So in closing, I close with Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, that says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." So thank you all for your time.